Oh, Lord. See, some of y'all still feel guilty. See, look at somebody and say, no, I'll tell you what. Say, hey, I want you to know today. I know my record. I know about the surcharges. I know about my past. But I'm going to tell you today, because of Jesus, not guilty. Hey! We've been talking about giants. And one of the giants is guilt. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Need y'all to hear me? Not guilty. First thing come to my mind is O.J. Simpson. One of the most renowned trials that had occurred in our past, where he had murdered, he was accused of murdering his wife. He had a slew of professional lawyers. The prosecutor gathered the evidence of the leather glove, the blood, the crime scene, the motive. The trial was broadcast over all of the networks, it was in the papers. And everyone from Japan to America was waiting on the verdict of the jury to find out or to know, was O.J. guilty or not? Prior to the sentence, everyone who was not part of the jury came up with their own conclusion. They say that whatever is guilty. Look at him lying. Someone else took another position and said, you see how small that glove is, how big his hand is? He's telling the truth. He ain't killed his wife. He's not guilty. It's interesting how when we assess someone else's life, that we can come up with a conclusion and a verdict based on our interpretation of the facts. Anybody know me? I don't preach Alice in Wonderland. I bring it home. You need to look at your neighbor and say, you don't know all the facts. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. That neighbor you talk to don't know all your stuff. We got stuff we hide. We got stuff we ashamed of. I'm trying to teach leadership because I've learned something. Child, ain't nobody love me. Nobody love you? No, nobody love me. They're supposed to be saved in the church. Ain't nobody come to see me. Ain't nobody come to send me no flowers. And the pastor didn't even call. And so-and-so is, oh, God, what? Child, I'm no good. Negroes in the church ain't no good. Got one side of the story. Because you wasn't there when he came and she didn't answer the door. You wasn't there when he called and was hung up on. You all, y'all ain't liking me. But I got one side of the story. And we make our own verdict and condemnation. Whew. Trying to behave, but am I talking right? In life, you better find out what the deal is before you come up with an assessment. Especially in the day when people are, we just love to lie. Say amen. Amen. Somebody tell me something, I take it for face value until I find out the other side. Everybody don't know your story. They don't know your secrets. They don't know what you hide. They don't know what you're ashamed of. And Satan takes advantage of that arena. Guilty. Feeling of having done wrong. And we failed God or our obligation. We done messed up. OJ was declared not guilty based on the jury. One of the biggest reasons we who are being saved, we who are champions, one of the biggest reasons we are not fulfilling or enjoying the capacity that God has for us. Satan loves to play the guilt trip. He uses us. Scripture says that he, Proverbs, what's the scripture where he says he convicts? Lord, bring it to me, Holy Spirit. It'll come back to me. He's accusing. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost real, honey. And then he just said, here go. He is accuser of the brother. He brings accusations. You can do right, and they say, I remember when. Once a pimp, always a pimp. Once a drug dealer, always a pimp. Once a hoochie, always a hoochie. Once a thief, always a thief. Although God don't have the power. If he can raise the dead, Brother Jewel, 4 days dead and stinking. But he can't change a drunkard from cursing. The devil is a liar. I'm a witness today that God can change your life. And though man may look at you and hold you guilty, because you know what you are in Christ, you need to look the devil in the face and say, not guilty. Oh, I'm going to preach in a minute. I'm just setting you up. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. So one of Satan's biggest weapons to keep us locked in, to keep us, amen, trapped into a mindset of defeat and discouragement. That when we hear encouragement or the word of God that pertains to kingdom living, and when we step out in faith for a changed life, here comes the enemy bringing up our file, our jacket. Amen. Like they do in the courts, and something happens. They say, well, let's pull out their jacket and see all that they have done. And based on the record is how we going to treat them. And the world is so wicked that if we can't find nothing, maybe they're using an alias. I don't find a jacket. And maybe they're lying to us because of their ethnicity, because they're a male, because they're living in this hood. They got to have something guilty on them, or y'all ain't seeing nothing. And that's how the world sets up his mindset of who we are to keep us trapped. Amen. And accused and defeated. But I don't know about y'all, but that's why I thank God for Jesus Christ, because the Bible declares that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from just a few sins. The only sin he can help you with is the sin of drinking, but everything else you did, you're going to have to take it with you. But I come to let you know, devil, you's a liar. I might have been a drinker, but I might have been a drug dealer, and I did testify of carrying a piece, but because of the blood, I'm clean inside. And I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And we got to get to the place to let the devil know, to let that giant know, not guilty. I'm going on to live this life that God has called me to live. Do I have anybody listening today? Amen. Is guilt tears us down, and guilt would make you feel dirty. I know, amen, a lot of times I preach from where I've been and not from where I am, but where I've been. I know what it is to know that you've done some things and you feel shame, and amen, in the purity of God, you want to walk in that new life. But Satan would say, remember when. I know how it feels to try to live saved, and while living saved flesh, that in this dwelleth no good thing.
thing. You do something wicked and the devil will say, see, I thought you were saved. I thought you knew God. You talking holiness. Well, why you do that? Why you think that? Why you even dream that? The devil will get in your dreams to make you feel dirty. Y'all ain't singing nothing here. And then you wake up and say, oh God, I thought I had a charge with you. I thought I was in a certain place, but we don't know that God is saying, I'm just letting you see that there's a warfare. You got to maintain your ground. I'm trying to tell somebody today that if you gave your life to Jesus Christ, the devil's got a record. He's got a jacket. They know you as Pookie in the hood. Amen. They know what you've done in the past. And somebody's sitting over the table talking about who you are and what you done did. But when you come into Jesus Christ, I want you to know that God says, not guilty. The slate is wiped out. And what we need to do is start walking in the newness of life and give God the glory. But if you're walking around condemned, the devil will make you feel dirty and unworthy. And amen. And that affects your faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to believe God. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Amen. If I'm holding guilt on myself, my little brother, and one day I can't be saved, I did this, and I can't be saved, I did that. And he was just telling me why he cannot live the kingdom life. I said, Lord, that's my brother. I don't want to see my brother go to hell. I said, you got to give me something to say to him that he'll make him comprehend the Bible. And the Holy Spirit said, tell him he's trying to sit in the seat of God. In other words, God says you're forgiven, but he's saying he's guilty. Y'all hear what I'm saying? No matter what he did, when you tell God, I'm sorry, amen, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, and you give God your heart, he knows all the dirt, he knows the trash, but for me to keep saying, oh no, look at me, look what I've done, that's saying that me being judged, that I sit in a seat of authority superior to God. And when I told him that, he said, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. He said, I got to let this thing go. I said, that's right. And from that point on, he started talking different. Can y'all help me preach today for a few minutes? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I want you to know you can do it over. Somebody say, thank God, and give him some praise. Amen. Say, you can do it over. Change your mind. Change how you think about yourself. Stop killing yourself and putting yourself in the grave. Oh Lord, I need your help today. Can I have a help praise just for 1 minute? Come on and let's have a help praise. Let me share this with you. Amen. Satan is after. He uses guilt to rob me of my faith and my confidence and what Christ has done for me. One of the things that I want to tell you is this. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Amen. The Bible says that Christ came that I may have life in that more abundantly. So the work of the cross. I know, church, we all talk about sin and the fact that we need Jesus to go to heaven, and we don't talk about life. But one of the most famous scriptures in the text, in the book of John, he said, I've come and that you may have life and that more abundantly. Do you hear what I'm saying? God wants me to have the abundant life. In other words, being saved helps me now. Amen. It helps me where I am. It's not just about sin, but it's about my person, and sin affects my person. Read Romans chapter 7. It's an issue between sin in the flesh, in the person, in the law, and the result of guilt and the works of Jesus Christ. Jesus came and put all my sins on the cross. And on that cross, he was nailed to that cross and condemned to death for every possible thing that I could do in my life. Because of Christ, I'm able now to have a new life in Christ Jesus. And that's why we proclaim Jesus so much. And that's why we talk about about Jesus. I know most of us want church. Most of us want how good the preacher preach and how everybody sing and is it air conditioned? Is it heated or whatever? No, I need God. Do I have a witness here? Now let's look at us and look at God. And now Christ says, amen, that I died for you. Amen. I did it for good and not evil. I have an expected end for you. And then I want to come and transform you into a new creature. In other words, I want to make you a new creation. I got to recreate you in the spirit. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so now here is Dennis with all his trash and all his ways and proclivities. Back in the day, I can curse you out. I will curse you out so bad that your grandmama been years dead would wake up and shake because of the words that I spoke to your spirit. I would go into your past and make you so mad your teeth would grit. I would spit at people and I had an evil inside of me because I hated being here in this evil world. And so to get launched out at folk, I want to cut you, shoot you. I use words to just hurt somebody because I was hurting. But when Christ came in my life, I'm telling you, when I saw the blood wash me, I'm telling you, a new thing happened to me. And I was no more hurt and wanted to launch out, hating different races and hating different folk and hating myself. But God made me love me. He took the filth out of my mouth. He put peace in my spirit. He said, you know what? Now, if I take everything from you, you're going to really act foolish. I'm going to take the smoking and the reefers and the liquor, and I'm going to take the party out of you, and I'm going to take the lying, I'm going to take the cursing, I'm going to take all of that, but I can't take everything. I'm going to leave some stuff to keep you seeking me, because flesh is a mess. He told us that in the Old Testament, if I get rid of all the animals and all the enemies, that they'll get confused in the promised land. So sometimes I say, God, why didn't you take that? This is what's keeping me from your power. But God say, I'm going to give you authority over that to teach you how to be a kingdom citizen. I can't take that from you because that keeps you seeking me, that keeps you praying, that keeps you fasting, that keeps you in the warfare, and that keeps you with compassion. Because if you get really saved, you're going to judge folk because you did that before you got saved. But when you realize that you got trash in you, when someone comes in your life trashy, you're going to say, by the grace of God. Oh, help me preach today. There go I. I know somebody getting mad at me today. Because church is full of folk that'll judge you because of your kids, and judge you how you dress, and judge you for where you've been, and look at your tattoos and judge you, and look at your piercings and judge you, and look at your record and judge you, and they saw you in the gangs, and they saw you in the hood, and so I'm going to judge you. But Christ said, I came to judge you too. How did you do it? I took your stuff on the cross. And when I came down, you came down. And when I came down, you came down. And now I look at you saying, not guilty. Who is God talking to in here? I need you to raise your hand and raise your voice in this sanctuary and let that devil know, not guilty. You lying devil, not guilty. I feel like preaching. Give me a few more minutes. Oh, hallelujah. We hold stuff over people's heads, and that's a type of control, and we like to make folks feel condemned. And yeah, I remember, but I won't forget. Hang stuff over. That's how we are. That's flesh. Can y'all help me preach one more time? Say, whatever is flesh is flesh. Whatever is spirit is spirit. That's flesh when folk do that. That ain't God. People can be saved and still hold you guilty. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing here. Yeah, I know they preaching now, but they backslid 3 years later. Oh, help me, God. Let me go ahead. Y'all don't want to be real. But Jesus, amen, came to cleanse us from all our sins and to free us from guilt. If you want the victory in Christ Jesus, you got to get the victory over guilt. That's one of the giants that you must slay to stay victorious. Amen. You got to get over what you've done and where you've been and get in God. And even as you walk with God, there's not nobody, whoever in here don't say amen, not say they're gonna say amen to this. Whoever denies what I'm about to say, you were jacked up because you're lying. There is nobody in here saved that has not done sin since they've been saved. If you say you didn't, you just did. You're a liar. Right up in the church. Amen. Because whatever is not of faith is sin. He that knoweth to do good and doeth not ill. Oh, y'all ain't liking me. Don't let me get in the word. Say amen. So we don't need to be condemning one another and judging one another. Am I right about it? Oh, help me go on before I start something now. Amen. There, amen. When you realize what Jesus did to free us from guilt, I got to beat that giant because of my past. If I want spiritual victory, I got to overcome this enemy. And in Romans 5, Paul says that this war is in my mind. And that means that I got to get the battleground. It's not, amen, and stuff that's external. And a lot of times we emphasize on that which is easy. It's not going to, I did that when I first got saved. I didn't know much about holiness. I didn't know nothing about righteousness. I'm a wicked sinner. Amen. Like Paul. I was, amen, a sinner of sinners. Mm-hmm. And so because I figured what was right due to my religious background and amen, I felt, well, I got to get rid of my P-funk because I know that's not right. And I got to give up my cigarettes. I know that's not right. And certain things I just know from knowing church, there's some things not right. And so I pursued to correct my life externally. And so I gave away all my records and gave away my black light posters and got rid of, amen, the connections that I can get to, my drug connections. And I'm going to do right now. And we do it out of love because, you know, we love God. And so faith without works is dead. And so we tend to do things easy externally. But then as I begin to evolve in God, I found out that I said, God, you never talked to me about my posters and my records. And you never talked to me about my cigarettes and my drugs. You talked to me about my attitude. You talk to me about my disposition. You talk to me about how I love my brothers. You dealing with me with some stuff that I never paid attention to. You're talking to me about how I pay my bills and how I'm respecting the people that I hated. Now, this is very interesting. God says, listen, I'm not after the outward man. You doing this thing backwards. I'm going after the inward man because if I can get the inward right, the outward becomes right. And so I ended up in church realizing that some people, amen, that is in a holiness church and you take it off and put it on. And it was a lot of people taking off and put it on. But when we got behind the scenes, there was conversations that was not ungodly. Yeah, there was some things, there was some stuff, Sister Patterson, going on. And but yet they took it off and they put it on. Do you see what I'm saying? But that's how we do. It's easy for us to take off and it's easy for us to put on. But amen. But what about the inside? Somebody say, help us, God. And so we can look like we save and we can act like we save, but I can still talk about you. I can carry a big Bible and quote scriptures and I can fight and argue with you about theology and still back by you. Oh yeah, I can go to your house and talk about Jesus, and I look clean on the outside, but when I'm on the telephone and Facebook, I'm trashing everybody in the church. Y'all ain't saying nothing. When the same Bible that I'm quoting says, by this shall you know all men are my disciples, as they got love one for another. How do you know that you're saved? You got to have love for the brethren. This is why the enemy got us trashing one another. I was thinking about this yesterday, Joe. Most saints don't have a life. That's why we are so critical about a saved folk than I am a sinner. Oh, Jewel wasn't there. Jewel didn't come through. And I'm telling Sherry about all of what Jewel's doing. And Sherry now looking at Jewel, rolling her eyes. But the crackhead on my block and that devil on the job, I tolerate them. Don't say nothing about them. You don't even hear me say anything about the music they're playing and the dress they're wearing and the cigarettes they smoking and the drugs they trying to sell. But I'm on the phone talking about Jew. Y'all ain't saying nothing here. The church is like AIDS. And we killing one another. But I come to let that devil know. All through I have a church today that he is defeated in the house of God. And we gonna love one another. But God says, amen, that he is as he has given us love through the power of the Holy Ghost. Clap your hands and say glory. Amen. Come on, clap your hands and say, I know I'm crossing ground. 1 Timothy 3:9, it says, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. That's where I want to leave here before I go. In a pure conscience. Amen. He says, we got to hold forth the mystery. Wow. With a pure conscience. Amen. I got to have a pure conscience to overcome the spirit of guilt that keeps me bound for what I do and it keeps me bound for where I've been. But we got to understand that scripture teaches us that there's two kinds of guilt displayed in the Bible. In 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not being repented of, but the sorrow of this world, another type of sorrow or guilt, worketh death. There is a godly sorrow, a sorrow that is God birth, that would lead a person to repent for what they did, and that comes from the conviction of the Holy Ghost. That when I do something, that's why you still save and don't leave God when you fall, because the Holy Ghost, which is a prover of sin, will convict you. You doing wrong. See, if you really say, when you do get on the telephone and say something derogatory, the Holy Ghost say, you know you shouldn't have said that. But because of shame, we ain't going to the person. But we still go to God, say, Lord, forgive me. I really should have watched what I said. I ain't treat them right, but oh God, have mercy on me. Do I have five folk over here and one person over here that'll jump on their feet and say, I know you talking right. Well, give them praise for being honest in this church. Amen. I'm telling you that when you feel bad, that Holy Ghost would tell you, you know, you shouldn't have done this or done that. That's godly sorrow. And that's being convicted by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost would convict me of my sin and would tell me right from wrong. And I'm sorry enough for what I did to get saved. In other words, I'm not sorry for getting caught. I'm not sorry because I'm sorry enough to want to change from my situation. This is why a lot of people don't want to get saved and can't handle salvation. They sorry, but not godly sorry enough that, you know what, I did that, don't want to do it no more. I said that, but don't want to say it no more. Y'all ain't saying nothing up in here. I want you to know that when you amen, godly sorrow, praise God, you don't have to feel bad about what you did. You just enjoy the change. But when you look at the world sorry or the world sorrow. Oh, we are condemned to death. Oh, yes, oh, yes. There's a way that we see our stuff with our eyes. If I see my guilt with my eyes, it is limited, amen, to my comfort zone. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. In other words, I diss my brother. Don't pay him back. He owe me money. Don't pay him back. Then I trash him because, oh, help me, God. Help me watch my mouth. Amen. And I do him wrong. Y'all ain't seeing nothing here. And then when I'm convicted, amen, and he say, you know, you shouldn't have treated your brother right, I tell him, it's all good. God knows. You see how I judge my guilt? I ain't going to repent to him. God's got it. God will forgive me. Oh, come on, y'all. Let's talk real in here. I ain't going to go and tell him I'm sorry. I'm trying to judge myself. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Amen. But when we talking about godly sorrow, we see our stuff in God's eyes. And in God's eyes, the scripture teaches us that, amen, God sees. He sees through the eyes of holiness and grace. Amen. In my eyes, amen, I'm going to get what I want. And I'm comfortable with what I did. Amen. I'm pure in my own eyes. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. In 1 Timothy 1:15, it tells us, unto the pure are all things pure, but unto them who are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, and even their mind and their conscience is defiled. Yeah, you can be pure in your own eyes, but we got to see God. God says only the pure in heart shall see him, and holiness without no man shall see God. With God's eyes, it is wrong. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. It ain't guilt, it's wrong. And when we give God our situation and tell God I'm sorry, and I ain't gonna let, amen, I was wrong for what I did, and I'm not gonna go another day for what I did. I know I shouldn't have done it, and I know, hey, I was wrong, but oh God, in my heart, you know my heart, and I'm giving you my heart today, and I refuse to leave here today walking with a guilt trip because I done did this and did that. You was in the situation. That's why the Bible says whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. He's the only one that's in the bedroom and in the house. We on the outside, but God's on the inside. Am I talking right here? When you go to court and the judge is sitting behind the desk in the black robe, you know you was speeding and you know you was guilty. You know you should go to jail. You sit there with a condemned spirit. Your spirit is vexed. Amen. You're troubled in your mind because you don't know the outcome. Your lawyer represents you. You feel helpless and hopeless. But then when your lawyer defends your case, and we find out that when the lawyer goes to the judge grabs his gavel. He tells you to stand with your defense. He says, amen, in this case, with the state versus so-and-so, and the evidence that's presented, not guilty. I come to tell you, I wish I had a witness here, that I am guilty. I know what I did. My heart was in the wrong place. I didn't want to do it, but in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. But Jesus stood in my defense. He went, amen, to the cross. He went, amen, in my defense. He stood before the judge. Y'all ain't saying nothing here. Would you stand behind him, Jewel? Just stand in the aisle. And so when the judge tries to see Jewel, see all his guilt, see the stuff he stole, see the lies he told, see the things he really done, and the stuff he was accused of, I see now the judge say, I don't see Jewel. I see Jesus, not guilty. Y'all ain't saying nothing here. Y'all ain't give God a praise. Jewel is guilty. Jewel should go to hell. Jewel should be condemned. But in Christ Jesus, there is there no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So now Jewel got to do one thing. Walk in the spirit and not according to the flesh. I know you committed adultery, but go and sin no more. Just don't do it again. And I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Ghost to teach you and to guide you and to lead you into all good things. You ain't in this thing by yourself. I'm going to give you some help. I know you got Jesus, but now you got the Holy Ghost. So when you go in your life, I help you. I help you repent. I help you change your mind. You're not alone. And you can rejoice because you're not guilty. Lift your hands and